Hi, I'm Aneria Turney with the Qué Funny Comedy Tour, and you are listening to Comedians Uncorked.
Now, broadcasting live from the Podcast Palace on Park Street in beautiful and dangerous Clearwater, Florida, it's the Comedians Uncorked podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Tony Gaud and Pat Largo.
Yes, here we are, and welcome to the Comedians Uncorked podcast, Thursday, November 18th, 2021, and part of me says I cannot wait for 2022 to come here. My name is Pat Largo. We got Tony Gaud over here, the co-host of the podcast, and we got a lot going on, man. First off, I want to say thank you guys for subscribing. This is a whole new thing for us. Well, I don't know about Tony. For me, this is totally new. So I'm finding out that people are listening to us.
People are listening to
us. It's very exciting. So first
off, it makes me nervous.
No, I know. So I'm saying, I don't know what the hell's going on here, but to know that people are listening to the Comedians Uncorked podcast is amazing. So thank you for watching and listening to this. If you're new, thank you for being here. And don't forget to hit us up on Spotify, all the major podcast platforms, and YouTube. YouTube, if you want to subscribe to us on there, because about 2-3 times a week, sometimes maybe a little bit more, we're going to add some fresh content and some behind-the-scenes stuff on on YouTube as well. So we got that going on. So again, thank you so much for listening and just making this comedy dream a little reality. We have a great show again this week here, Episode 5 for Comedians Uncorked podcast. We have the story we had from last week, which Dwayne Johnson, we talked, I know you brought it up, with Vin Diesel talking about trying to bring him back for Fast and Furious 10, was it?
Got a little follow-up.
Right. So now, and I only saw a five-second teaser you gave me, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who used to live here in the Tampa Bay area, now retorts to what Vin Diesel talked about. So we're going to play that. We have a Tampa comedy great, Ron Hortman, that's going to be he's going to be our interview this week. We're going to be doing also, we're going to answer the question of the week, which was the favorite comedy film franchise and character. I had two that I chose last week.
I've got two and a honorable mention.
Oh, right on. Cool. Okay, good.
I couldn't make choices.
Choices. I think it's tough to do just one, so I'm glad about that. Also, we're going to do the calendar stuff. We're going to say who's playing where. We like to call it Where Are They At? So we're going to be talking about some clubs here in Florida, also around the country. So we have a whole bunch of stuff coming up here on the Comedians Uncorked podcast. Well, my week is better than it was last week. Remember last week when I said I did that fundraiser?
Yeah.
And I asked where the dead lady was in the room. Yeah, if this is your first time tuning in, I will give you the truncated version. Tony says, how was your week last week? And I said, well, it could have been better. I kind of did a fundraiser at a home club that I do a lot of comedy at in the Tampa Bay area. And no one told me beforehand, because I was out of the room, that the name of the person of the company, that she's deceased. So two other.
That's not funny, but not knowing
it's not
is
really
funny.
That's really funny, because I like to be prepared, except for then. So I went on stage, and I said, hey, where's so-and-so? Is she here? And 60, 70 people are just dead staring at me. And then I made a little joke about the thing she works for, the name of the company, and they're all just staring at me. And I mean staring.
Not amused.
I mean, even the other comics are going, where are you going with this? And then I thought to myself, oh, she's probably not here with us. So then I got with a good old, where's my Tampa Bay Buccaneer fans? Yay! And then we got them on our side. But boy, so my week is a lot better than talking about it.
Pretty much any week could be better than that. So what happened this week?
That's true.
Something good?
Yeah, well, I'm just preparing. I'm doing some TV work right now. I did a couple of days ago and actually yesterday as well for a big Shopapalooza event. It's the biggest local business shopping event in the country. That's cool. Coming up next weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, the 27th and 28th.
Cool.
So it's a huge event, like 300-plus vendors. I get to MC the main stage, the music stage, thank God. And it's just, I mean, it's 11 acres, and every single inch is packed with people and food and Christmas stuff. And so that's my main week, has been just doing that and doing TV promos and stuff. So, yeah.
Nice, man.
Not too bad. How was yours?
Well, not good. As you know.
Yeah, so, you got some stuff going on too, yeah.
So this has been a pretty rough week. Actually, the next couple of weeks will probably be about the same. But this weekend, the 20th, Saturday, is the next show at the Tipsy Bookworm in Plant City. That's one of the shows that I produce and I book. And I usually host it, but I'm not going to be there this week because I'm dealing with some family issues, some family matters that need to be dealt with. So I'm not going to be there, but the show is still continuing. It's got a great lineup, and Sloan, who we already mentioned on the show, and John Jacobs are both on the bill. So that's
okay. Both have been on the podcast.
Yeah, and that's going to be a great show. So that's coming up. And I was initially trying to finish a short film that I'm working on right now. And that's a really short film. It's almost like a prerequisite to the next short film that I'm doing. It's actually a part of that. It's the inner workings of it. It's almost like the moment before for the main short film that I'm working on. But this one, I'm going to have to put that on hold a little bit. But over the next couple of weeks, I'm trying to finish that. That was on the agenda for this week as well. So get back to that. That won't take very long, and get into the editing of that, and then move on to the actual short film that I want to make. So this is almost like, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's like one of those things where I have to get the idea out in order to develop the full scope of the actual short film that I want to shoot. You know,
it's almost like
purging the idea from your brain almost,
right,
so that you could see it or kind of visualize it better.
Yeah.
So this is more, it's going to be kind of experimental. I don't know if anybody's going to see it. Although if it does come out all right, I'll probably try to enter it into a couple festivals just to see if I can get some feedback. But
well, good.
Those are the main things I've been working on. Other than that, I'm dealing with the other stuff. And
yeah.
I just came in to do the show so we can get the podcast done and get some of the information out, get some of the laughs, get some of the news out.
That's what we do. It's fun, man. So, and real quick, shout out to Julie Drolls hanging here in the Clearwater area. That's what we broadcast from, man, the Podcast Palace on Park Street.
That's it.
And Julie Drolls Hagen of Century 21, thank you so much for sponsoring the show. If you're in the area or even outside the area, want to get some real estate, maybe you're moving to Florida, to the Tampa Bay area, get Julie Drolls Hagen. You can give her a shout at 727-902-9233. Or FloridaBeachBusiness.com. Julie Drolshagen, thank you so much.
FloridaBeachBusiness.com. Yes, check her out.
So we got, we're going to do the, is it the Dwayne Johnson thing?
Okay, so.
I'm dying to know. I really am.
Let's get into the news part. So this is, it's not really a response to Vin Diesel, what he did.
Okay.
But this is, so this was an interview that Dwayne Johnson was conducting with Entertainment Tonight. So he was on this is a red carpet interview. And they were talking about the new film Red Notice, which is on, it's on Netflix. So you've seen the movie, so this isn't a spoiler, but apparently this is something that happened in the movie. So if you've seen the movie, you may already know, but so I'm going to play the little audio clip of him talking about the Vin Diesel situation. Well, it's not even talking about the situation, but here's.
You know, Ryan loves to improv, and I love that. I've known Ryan for a long time, and 20 years, man. We go way back. I've known Ryan longer than anyone in Hollywood, and so that's how close we are. And the Vin joke, audiences love it. Very, very funny, but that was Ryan. He came up with that. He came up with a few of them, and I thought that was the one that could be funny. And you know, look, in a movie like this, you gotta have a sense of humor. Absolutely. Give it to the audience.
So if you've seen the movie, you might already know what the Vin joke is. I have no idea, but if you've seen it, let us know.
Now, and what Ryan was he talking about?
Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, okay.
So this is the movie Red Notice with Ryan Reynolds, Dwayne Johnson, and Gal Gadot. And Dwayne Johnson is one of the producers, so obviously he's got to kind of stand there and answer the questions. So
I gotta write that down. I saw that somewhere. I got to write that down.
I don't know if this is in reference to that, because I mean this movie was shot before the Instagram post, obviously,
right?
So I'm not sure what the joke was, but it was probably had something to do with the Fast and Furious, that kind of thing, but I'm curious to know now. So, Red Notice, look for the Vin joke and let us know what you think about that.
That's funny. Okay.
Now, the next story, I'm going to try to keep these a little brief.
Yeah.
And this is definitely comedy news right here. Karen goes to the comedy club. So this is...
Is this the one I think?
I don't know. This happened in Jacksonville.
This might be the one then.
This might be the one with comedian Afron Crockett. He was performing at the Comedy Zone in Jacksonville when Karen decided to storm the stage. She got onto the stage because she did not like his jokes about sex. So this was reported on several outlets, TMZ, Intel Hip Hop, and this is the, here, I'm going to play you a little snippet from the from that after we...
I've seen this. I saw this on Facebook a couple days ago, and I just couldn't believe it. And I just shared it as, and people say, hey, how hard is comedy to do nowadays? And I just posted it like that. And some of my friends, even non-comics, were like, that's bullshit, man. They should have punched her. I mean,
yeah, this is
it was just crazy.
It's ridiculous.
Goddamn comedy show. What is? You're injustice. What's the problem?
So if you haven't seen this video, I'm going to put a link to it in the description. So he's asking her what was going on, why is she upset, why is she coming on stage?
What do you want to know? What do you want to know?
I'm a woman.
We know you're a woman. We can tell.
I'm married to a man.
Good.
You're insulting people tonight.
How? How am I insulting people by talking about sexual matters between adults?
This is the truest thing right here.
Sounds like a resounding yes over here. A resounding agreement.
And this is a live fucking show, by the way, that they're doing. This is a live show and she's on stage.
Bye, Karen.
Bye, Karen. That right there. So let me comment on this.
You do first. Go ahead.
As a veteran comedian of over 20 years, if you're listening to this and you've never been to a comedy club, let me tell you something. If you yell out when you're not supposed to, when people are speaking on stage, you're heckling. Okay, if you don't know proper etiquette of how to behave at a live show, don't go. If you go to a comedy show, know who you're going to go see and what type of comedy. Otherwise, don't go. Mm-hmm. Because you're wasting your time and you're wasting the comic's time. The comedian is not going to change their act. It's not going to change their words because you're offended. You left your house to come to their house. When you come into a club and I'm on stage, that's my house. I didn't come to your house. I'm not at your address. You came to the place that I was going to be as a comedian to see the show that was on stage. You don't get to change it. If you don't like it, that's fine. You can leave. You can talk to the management about getting your money back, which you will not. They'll give you some free tickets to come back again so you can buy more food and drinks. But if you don't like it, leave. If you want to make a comment on your social media or on a review website, do that. That's your right. Hey, I didn't enjoy this comic. And then you'll say why you didn't enjoy it. And people are like, why did you go to that show if you don't enjoy that kind of comedy? That's if you've never been, that's etiquette. That's proper etiquette. The same way as you go to a theater to watch a play on Broadway or a musical, or you go to a movie, if you don't like the movie, the scenes don't change. That's what's on the screen. Yeah. If you don't have enough knowledge or common sense to check out what you're going to go see, then you shouldn't go. Don't go to a comedy club. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to put this very bluntly. Never, ever try to get on stage. Ooh. Ever. Don't ever approach the stage. And if you're a comic, don't ever relinquish the stage. You don't give your mic to anybody. There are shows that will invite people on stage. Those are the ones that you want to go and get on stage. If it's a hypnotist, a magician, mm-hmm. There are comics that invite audience members on stage at the end of the show to do a dance or do something silly. That's when you go. But if you're coming up there because you didn't like what you heard, if you're coming to my show and you do that, you will get struck down with the mic stand. And yep. that's a fact. I've had people try to approach the stage before, and when they see me lift that mic stand, they sit the fuck down. Because guess what? Now you're trying to assault me. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you got on you. All I know is that now you are a threat. You have broken the fourth wall of this entertainment show to try to assault me physically. That's all I'm thinking. I don't know who you are. I don't know if you're bringing up a bottle, if you're bringing up broken glass, a gun, a knife. But if you're approaching that stage because you didn't like something you heard, you're going to get fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Preach, son.
And most comics are going to fuck you up if they have to. And most comics are not violent. They would rather tell their jokes and get off stage and be left alone. That's it.
All right. Well, there you go. Next segment. Everything you said... Is, man, that right there. Well, that was some of the people that said on my comments on Facebook and stuff. They're like, man, this was a friend of mine, not even a comic. And he's like, man, like, how long was she on that stage? Where's security? I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because most clubs with security will pull you
right
off.
They were trying to, but the thing is, they were being nice.
Very nice.
And that's another problem.
Yeah.
People are being, the security of these clubs, and they're doing that because she's a woman. Not only is she a woman, she is a white woman, okay? Mm-hmm. If that had been a black woman come up on that stage, security would have tried to yank her off physically. But because it was this shitty-ass Karen mm-hmm. stepping on that stage to tell us she's married to a man and she's offended by sex jokes, get the fuck out of here. Yank her the fuck off. Mm-hmm. She has no right to be there.
But again, yeah, man, that's why I tell you, every club, this is what I would do. I think this is a decent idea. I would hire, because I have a few good-sized female African-American friends from radio, I would like to hire them as security.
No.
I can't touch a woman if she comes up. I mean, unless
but she's
physically...
But that's a bad idea.
It's a bad idea?
It's a very bad idea.
Damn it.
Because all you're doing is you're feeding into a stereotype of angry black women.
I just wanted to hit the white girl.
It doesn't matter. That you're still feeding into it. It's the visual. It's
Damn
a stereotype.
It.
What you need to do is you need to get some big, fat, white women.
White women. Okay, I got some corn-fed ones. And I there mean that go. In a nice way in the Tampa Bay area, ladies. You know.
So do I. When I say fat women, I mean it nice.
You mean like P-H-A-T, fat?
Fat ass.
Like fat. Slap that now, ass,
listen,
boy. What?
Sorry. A lot of this stuff will change. Well, I don't know if... Well, listen, that can also be a problem.
I love ass.
If you get... Like, you can't have, like, really fine, fat-ass women throwing other women out of the club. Because then that becomes the show. Everybody's going to want to see that happen again and again.
That, you know, it's almost like a reality show. You're right.
And they're going to be spraying water and beer on them.
Right.
This sounds pretty good.
It goes into the Seinfeld cat fires into a cat fight.
I think we fixed the problem, guys.
You see, this is what we do on this show. You listen to the Comedians Uncorked podcast to hear the pain. And
That's
then we
right.
not only go through the equation, we come up with the answer
we
and we
find the
things.
Solution. Yeah. Yes. Wet t-shirt contest.
Right.
That'll fix everything.
So big, thick, white bitches. That's going to be throwing Karens off the stage.
Next Karen on stage gets a wet bucket.
Get up here, Taylor.
Come on.
Taylor is 190 and she's pissed.
If you don't have, if you're not wearing a white cotton T-shirt, get off the stage.
Right, white cotton. It says security on the bag. We'll give you one. You want to get on stage, Karen? You take your bra off, you burn it, and we'll give you a white cotton T-shirt.
Yeah, it'll say we survived.
That's what we survived the Comedians on Cork podcast show. But no, man, it's dangerous because you could probably tell the way she was just talking. I'm sure she was drunk. Or on something. I can't believe she was 100% sober.
I don't know.
I don't know.
If you're in a comedy club, there's a good chance you're not 100% sober.
Right. And where was the husband? I mean, was the husband not there? Because if that was my wife or girlfriend and they were getting worked up, I would have to kind of restrain. I'm not going to let my significant other just go on a stage somewhere.
You got to think about that. Think about what you just said.
You know.
If he was there, which he probably was. Because she wasn't offended by sex jokes. She was embarrassed by sex jokes because she's a prude. And if her husband was there, he didn't do anything because he lets her walk all over him. She wouldn't have walked on that stage if this guy had any kind of influence on her.
That makes sense, yeah.
I mean, that's it. It's like if he's there and he's letting her walk on the stage, he has no influence on her. Whatever he says, it doesn't matter because she still went and did it. Even if he did, you don't even know. He might have even said, don't go up there. Honey, sit back down. You don't need to go up there. You're going to get embarrassed. She's like, oh, no, I'm right. He's wrong. These aren't jokes, blah, blah, blah. This is her conversation. In my head, this is what she said because this is what people try to reason it. So whoever she's married to, is, you know, he's a punk. I'll say it. He's a punk because he doesn't have any kind of influence. He doesn't have enough influence on her to tell her, hey, look, this is a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, he could have did the shoulder or the arm grab and she kind of whipped away from it, kind of a thing, you know. But and then you don't want to make a scene because if she's drunk and all of a sudden you grab her. Now, seriously, people look at you. You may be the husband or not. Now all of a sudden you're some woman beater or something.
That's
shit.
Probably why he's probably had a couple of calls to the house before.
Yeah.
Because he didn't agree with her her dinner. Not that she made it, but she ordered it because she doesn't cook.
I guess I'm straight.
She's just married to a man.
That's right.
And she has sex. Oh wait, did she? We don't even know if she had sex. Maybe that was the thing.
It could have been sex with someone else, a previous
Man, this is getting to be a scandal.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You don't know what she's talking about. Let me tell you, she doesn't know what she's talking about. But that right there was, even more to that clip. That went on so long that if someone did have a knife or gun on that stage, it could have been really, really bad. So, we got to wrap it up.
Karen is taking up too much time.
Here's the bottom line. Sorry. Please, like you said, you go to a live show, just enjoy or walk away and complain. Don't go on stage. Yeah. Don't throw shit at people on stage. Don't do that.
Listen, I'm pretty sure I'm going to cut some of this commentary down because it's too much. It's too much time on Karen.
Sorry.
So,
the bottom line.
So we gotta move on.
Don't hit women.
Don't
unless they deserve it.
Yeah, unless they're asking for it. Jesus, so much trouble. Well, I think it's time. It's time.
What do we have here? We have our answers for the question of the week.
Answer the question now. Let's.
Okay. Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Do we know what the question was?
So what is your favorite comedy film franchise and character?
I got two. In fact, I said at the closing last week, I got two.
Yeah, you did. All right.
And they both popped in at the same time.
Did they change or are they still the same?
Same ones. Right. And I asked you, does only two kind of count as a franchise? Because they might be working on another. And you said, okay, let's just do it.
We'll do it.
This one I thought about, which started out, I think the first one was 2004 or 5. I have to go with Borat.
All right. Okay. All right.
Sasha Baron Cohen, just the way he is, the character. And I'm going back even to Ali G. I know it's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
But the Borat, I call it a franchise. I know it's only two. There was like a 15 or 16 year difference in between the first one and the second
one. Yeah, there was a long stretch.
It was a long stretch. But I give it to that because the way he goes into things, willy-nilly, man, like he makes it happen and he survives things. Yeah. I love that. I just think it's brilliant. I just love seeing what he exposes. Sometimes it's himself.
Yeah.
But I love that right there. So I go with Borat. My second one, Jackass.
Jackass, okay.
I have right. That's just me. I'm going back to 1999 or 2000 when they were on MTV, when I first saw the show, when you hear that from, I think it's the Minutemen. I think it's called Corona by the Minutemen. That,
yeah.
Down, down, down. That opening riff.
Yeah, yeah.
That opening riff now, that's all you got to hear, and I will start cry laughing because I think about
that's
what it's
excellent, ensued. Right? Yeah.
It's the best. So I saw the show MTV. I'm 29, 30, going, what are these guys doing? And they're nail gunning each other, paint gunning. They're getting fire hoses at point blank range. What are these crazy cats doing? Then they do a couple of movies. And I can't. My mom, when she was alive, she was in her 80s. She went with me to the movies to watch the last Jackass in the movie.
Oh,
she
wow.
loved it. She loved it too.
That's pretty
so
cool.
That's my thing. Borat and Jackass are my two favorite franchises.
Okay, all right. So I also did a couple, but I had an honorable mention.
Cool.
Which I think it could be easily classified. Well, it's a multi-genre. So I went a little purist with the other ones. So, you know, but my honorable mention is Tremors. The franchise. Have you seen Tremors before?
I heard of. I've never watched.
You got to see it.
I will
man.
Do it.
Yes, excellent. Giant underground worms.
I'm okay.
Excellent
man.
Stuff.
I want to write that down.
Yeah. So I think they're up to like number 6 of the films.
Really?
And they also had a TV show, a series. I think it
that.
Only lasted like a few episodes, maybe like one season.
Okay.
But that's such a fun. A fun franchise, and my favorite character on there is Burt Gummer. Obviously, he's the survivalist, played by Michael Gross.
Oh,
great!
Cool.
Yeah, it's very funny. Great sci-fi, horror, comedy, very funny. Kevin, Kevin Bacon was in the first one, and then after that, other characters. But yeah, that's one.
Maybe that was the one I saw.
My other one of my other franchises, these are more traditional comedy films. One is, and there's several that I like, but these are a couple that I like a lot. The Friday franchise.
Okay,
Friday movie with Ice Cube. And my favorite character is Smokey, but he was only in the first one.
Oh.
So, yeah, I think he established that franchise with his part. I'm gonna tell you right now because he was hilarious. That was played by Chris Tucker.
Okay.
And then the second one is Naked Gun films.
Yeah.
The Frank Drebin.
Leslie Nielsen, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Leslie
beautiful.
Nielsen, and he also did the same thing like with the airplane movies, and so those are great. I love those. Are very slapstick, very funny, very over the top. So those are the movies, and we'll have a new question for you this week. Actually, should I ask the question now?
I mean, while we're on the subject, you might as well. And we're also, folks, going to be working on, got my sound guy working on an email address. You can get us at the website, comediansoncork.com. So when you're listening to this, you could pop us an email. I think we're working on a generic, like a Gmail phone number or something. People can leave voice messages or something.
Well, they can do that now.
Oh, cool.
On Anchor and Spotify.
Oh, right on.
So they can actually call us. They can leave a voicemail, leave us a message. You can answer the question on there. So this week, the question is, which four comedians would you like to see on stage together? What would be your fantasy lineup?
The first question I thought about, is this dead or alive? Or they have to be alive?
It doesn't matter.
Oh, really?
It's up to you.
Okay, because that changes things.
That does change things.
Okay, so what four comedians, folks, would you like to see on stage performing together? They could be dead, all four alive, a mixed match.
Yeah, or halfway dead.
career could be dead.
It could be dead career. What's your fantasy lineup for a four-person show there? So next week.
Okay, I already got a couple in mind right now, especially when you said dead careers.
Oh, God.
Pat Largo. and Pat Largo, and one more time.
All right.
That's a great question, man. Let us know, man. You can just give us a shout or contact us there on Spotify and YouTube. And thanks again for watching and listening to the Comedians on Cork podcast. So we got that right now. And then I believe we have to get ready here, right, for just another great, I'm partial to the Tampa Bay area, not only because we broadcast from here. We're going to do others, don't you worry. We're going to do others. But right now, I got a hold of this guy. We got a hold of this guy a couple of days ago. And we said, can you hang out with us a little bit? And he goes, yeah. So we're going to have him in right now. And this is going to be great. This is an interview with a Tampa Bay comedy. Great. Just a great guy. His name is Ron Horton. We hope you enjoy this.
Check it out.
Hey, all, and thank you for tuning in to the Comedians Uncorked podcast. My name is Pat Largo. And with us, we have, I like to call him a Tampa Bay comedy legend. He's originally from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We have a guy here that I just love on and off the stage, Ron Hortman. Ron, thanks for being on the Comedians Uncorked podcast with us.
Pat Largo, thank you for having me, man. Your words are too kind. Legend, I can use that.
Yeah, well, of course, man. I mean, just what you do here, again, not just on stage, just your personality and who you are. I love it. I got to do a show with you just a few days ago here in the Tampa Bay area. And it was the first time I saw you in a long time, which leads me to my first question. When things kind of hit the fan early last year in 2020, how did that affect you, your family? I mean, touring, money. What did COVID do for the last 18 or 20 months with Ron Hortman?
COVID stopped the bank, like, completely. No more shows. That source of income was thrown out the window. But it taught me that I could survive without it, and it showed me what's really important. So I started reevaluating my entire life. As far as what means the most to me, like as far as my family and those situations. So now it makes me think twice about gigs. Like, well, you know what? Whereas I would take everything that was shot my way, now you got to think about it. Oh, you're exposing yourself to possibly COVID, and you can get sick, and it'll stop you from performing for a couple of weeks. So now I try to think about that when I take a gig. So if it's close to me, you know, I'll do it because I'm home. I can be home. But a lot of stuff that I would take before, I just won't do it now.
Yeah, and I know because we talked about that because a couple of times, even a couple of months ago, one of my comedians on Cork shows, I think it may have invited you, or I just said, hey, are you doing anything? Because I really haven't even seen you much on social media. And you're like, I'm just kind of laying low right now, man, and that's not a bad thing. I know a lot of comedians, even our New York and L.A. buddies and stuff like that who were hurting for work, some of them are like, I'm just going to have to maybe just get a real job for now and just kind of lay low a bit and just see how things are. So there was nothing wrong with that whatsoever. And then when we were talking, actually, I didn't even know about this because I heard this in your set you did a few nights ago when we were performing together that, you know, I know you had a couple of health issues in your family, but then you mentioned a health issue that you have going on for yourself. Are you able to expound on that a little bit?
Yeah, man, I got, it's called vasovagal syncope. It basically, you can pass out at a certain point when you get too excited or your heart beats too fast. So
this happened
about a year and a half ago. And, you know, my doctor told me to, you know, hey, you gotta live stress-free. You gotta duck and dodge all of the drama. And, you know, again, that starts making you think, hey, what's really important?
And sure.
That's where I'm at in life, man. I'm a different person. I'm a different person. Stress-free, baby.
Well, see, now, and again, I know doctor's orders, but that seems to be such a statement. You gotta get stress-free. Well, I say you first, doc, because right now me making my copay is stress. So, and especially in our business, because I mean, I know you might be having a little day gig or something like that, but I've been doing this stuff about 3 years now, just strictly booking gigs and trying to get my own gigs. And when 2020 hit, whoo, and I was taking my mom in my house as her caregiver because she was failing in health. And I got to tell you, man, there was no way, dude, I could have gone 5 minutes without feeling stressed. So I don't know even how that, when someone just says, oh, you got to live stress-free, but what's a couple of things maybe you could share with other people who are listening and watching how maybe you did some stuff to kind of get the stress levels lower?
One of the biggest things for me, and I know we're supposed to be trying to be funny right now, but I'm sorry, this is not funny. Ron Horton's pretty boring. But one of the biggest things for me was I figured out that a lot of times, like when I would get upset about something, if somebody did something to me, instead of me walking away from it, I would want to address it because I would feel like, oh, they're not going to do that to me. Who do they think they are? They think that I'm this or I'm that. And when I sat down and I thought about it, that was just my pride. That was my pride. So now I'm like, you know what? Take my pride out of it. That person, it cost me this to know I can't deal with that person like that. So I'm done. No argument for me. No, not even a rebuttal. I just move on and I just don't deal with that person in my life anymore. And brother, when I tell you, that saves a lot of stress because people use like titles and old relationships to take advantage of you. Uh-huh. And you have to stand up for yourself. And sometimes they just mean by, hey, I still love you. I just can't deal with you like that. And I took that approach and I'm good. And I told him I'm recording and he just walked right in.
See, that's a stress level right there.
Well, no, because you know what? I'm going to just put him out. I'm going to lock him out. But hey, listen, you know what? You go about your day. I told you I was with Pat Largo. That's and you funny. Didn't get the memo. Yeah, that's it.
But that's why the good Lord invented bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
Just have a drink. Well, that's good. That's good to hear because, like I said, I'm with you. I just you kind of know priorities now, and you kind of figure out, okay, when I wake up in the morning and I'm like, all right, what's my goal? Number one on my list is how not to get as pissed off as I was yesterday.
Yes.
So just as the less pissed off, the better. And you're right.
Yes.
Just distancing. I'm only on really social media now just to promote shows and actually just fun stuff. You want to see videos about puppies and comedy? I'm your man. I'm not into politics and the COVID shots and this and that. I'm just not doing it. So that's just brother, me.
Listen, no, man, it's funny you said that. Like, I'm not political in any way, but I seen how people were so passionate about it. And I just sat down one day and I really thought about it. Like, you know what? They really believe that. Let them believe, if that's what they believe,
right?
Let them believe that. They believe that, that's fine. They ain't got to argue about it. And I will say this. Now, I have some, I'm not going to say what political, I got some people in my neighborhood that are of one political affiliation. And people, you would think that they were a certain type of way based on some of the rhetoric that you see. But when I tell you this, like when COVID first happened,
uh-huh.
I posted on social media that Publix had no meat. They're all out of meat. I can't believe it. I got a little freaked out.
Right.
When I tell you, my neighbors came to my door with a grocery bag full of meat. I'm like, oh, no, man. It was like, no, this is what neighbors do. And I said, man, this is crazy. So I immediately went to social media and said, hey, I don't have any money. And they didn't bring a bag of money, but I tried it. But that's how good they are, man.
That's funny.
And then you just learn people are people. They have their beliefs. Get to know each other on a personal level. All the other now, I don't even want to talk about it. Like, we ain't had to go there. You believe what you believe. I believe what I believe. And that's that.
That's funny. And then, in a way, though, I'm thinking about now you also discovered the people who took all the meat.
Yes.
That's my first question. I'm like, thank you, but what do you do with all that meat? You live alone. What? That's awesome, though. Well, that's great to have neighbors like that. Now you
I got
see,
the best neighbors, man.
That's really cool.
No, the awesome. Best, like literally.
Yeah, and that's people. See, that's what I'm saying. I've become more of a people person.
Yeah,
I've been in communications for years in radio and comedy and stuff like that, but I've become a little more astute now. And really focused on actual people and like who my friends are, like my small circle of really close friends that I've known for 25, 30 years. Some I've known that long, I had to part with.
Yeah,
I don't wish ill will. I'm cool with it. But I mean, something like that. Now, in my stores, we had some meat, couldn't find paper towels or toilet paper to save my life.
Oh, we got a guy.
You got a guy? You got another baby. You got the meat guy and the toilet paper.
Guy, yeah. We straight over here, man.
That's a and we both live in the same city.
If you need some, let me know. Text me.
I appreciate that.
I might have a package for you.
Thanks. I'm good now. I steal it from this gas station down the street. Now, I'm glad, though, you're back when I'm seeing you on social media and some of the promos that you're back on tour, because you're I don't want to say fresh off your Dry Bar comedy special. That was a little while ago, right? Your Dry Bar special?
About a year ago, and then COVID happened.
Yeah.
You know, so I felt cheated. Like, I didn't get to... You know, but hey, you know, it was good for me, man. I got, I don't even know how many millions of views. I'll say that. And
you do.
People from all over the world actually reach out to me, and it's a beautiful thing. And
isn't that something?
I like to tell people it means everything, but it means absolutely nothing at the same time, because I'm still here. I'm not, you know what I mean? But
yeah, I do.
It meant a lot, though.
Real quick, what's a couple of the countries or some of the furthest ones away where you go, oh my God, I can't believe this?
They tried to book me in Jerusalem.
No!
I got friends in Iceland.
Oh, yes, good!
Yeah, I got a couple people over in Germany.
Okay.
That like Ron Horbin a little bit.
Good!
Argentina. You know, it's crazy, man. The reach is amazing. If you sit and really think about it, it'll freak you out.
All right.
You know what I mean?
I just got this other question in my head now. 2022 comes. Things are a little better. You're healthy. You're doing great. You're like, okay, I got my shots. I'm doing this. Or I don't have whatever it is. I'm feeling good. I trust people. Yeah. People in Germany go, Ron, we would love you to do a couple of cities in Germany for a couple of weeks. Or we'll fly you out or do the whole thing. Germany, Iceland. Would you entertain a two or three month trek in those areas to do shows?
I'm going. Definitely. I'm definitely going.
Nice.
I'm definitely going. Like I was really working. I really want the Jerusalem trip. Like,
yes.
That blew my mind. Like, what the? But yeah, I'm definitely going. Definitely.
That's what I like to hear. And that my previous question was, it's great to see you back out on the road again, not just some of the local stuff like we did a few nights ago. It's great to see you working with the lovely and amazingly talented Angela Johnson.
Yes.
I know Ron works opens for Angela, and pretty soon some names are going to be opening for you. I'm sure they do already, but you're at that stage now where you're going to be commanding some good names to be opening for you. But first off, I've been an Angela Johnson fan before I even knew you were working with her. I'm going back years prior to her big Asian nail salon bit.
Yes.
I loved her. And I'm so happy to see her. And I know she's married now. I think newly married, I want to say.
A couple of years now. She's married.
Okay.
She is one of the sweetest people I ever met in life. She's supportive. She's giving. She shares information. She's an all around great person, man. She treats my family like her family, and
wow,
I couldn't be more prouder to be her friend. And I get to do some super cool gigs. And the crazy thing about it is, from the moment I met her, she didn't treat me like look down on me or anything. She treats me like a regular
opening act or something.
Like we're right. She treats me like we're peers, and you know I feel like I'm in the inner circle, and that means a lot, man. It really does.
Wow. All right. A couple of quick follow ups before I forget, because I'm at that age now. I need my CoQ10, Ron. you're very talented.
Thank you.
You're in the Tampa Bay area. So now where did that first hook up? How did that work? Did Angela's people contact you? Did you just happen to meet her? How did it work where someone says, hey, you want to work with Angela Johnson?
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be transparent.
Okay.
I didn't know who she was.
Okay.
One of my mentors, the great Al Romas.
Yep.
Shouts out to Big Al. Big Al was always... opening a couple doors for me, and he reached out to me one day because I believe they had the same management.
Okay.
And he said, he's like, hey man, got a gig for you. they were looking for somebody clean, and I told them you'd be perfect. It's at a college in Orlando. And I was like, all right, her people they're gonna reach out to you. He said, it could mean absolutely nothing, or it could be a big deal. Just do what you do. All right. And I was like, all right. He said, good luck, kid. And
wow.
Al, like this old school Italian mobster.
Oh, yeah.
Comedy,
yeah,
dude. Yeah. So yeah. I was like, all right, man. So her people reached out to me. They said, hey, send us a clip. I sent them a clip, and they were like, everything's great. Just don't do this joke or that joke. And I'm like, oh, they're going to be those people. All right. I was like, all right, no problem. I get to all the college gigs I had done to that point was me. And I was literally in the cafeteria, people walking by, not paying attention.
Right.
So I'm thinking it's a college gig. I get there, it's UCF.
Yep.
Right. And I didn't realize that's the second biggest college in the country.
Yeah, and, population-wise, right, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a stadium.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, what? And I hadn't met her yet. I'm like, who is this? And so I meet her in passing. She's like, hey, I heard you're really funny. Just have fun. They're going to tape it for you, and then it might be a good tape for you. Just have fun. She's like, I'm sorry, I got to take a call or whatever. I'm like, okay. So I'll go out. I do my thing, and it blew my mind because it was so many people there.
Right.
I get off stage. I introduce her. She's come out. She's like, hey, they said you did really well in passing. I'm like, thank you. So she go on stage. She do her thing. After the show, she said, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't get to watch your set. I'm going to be at the Orlando Improv. Can you come so I can watch you? And I said, I'm sorry, I got shows in Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm going to be back until Sunday. She said, Sunday's fine. So I'm like, all right. And this is how comedy works, y'all. Yeah, I'm going to tell
this
you.
This is right.
So I do my shows in Knoxville at it was Side Splitters when they had the club in Knoxville.
Yep.
I came back Sunday, didn't even go home. My wife actually went with me, got a hotel in Orlando. Went to the Orlando Improv. She gave me 5 minutes. And I'm going to tell you who was in the back room that day.
Okay.
Preacher Lawson.
Wow.
I think Ken Miller was there.
Uh-huh.
And Adam Murray.
Okay.
They were in the back because, you know, that's their home club.
Yeah.
And so she had her opener do some time at the time. A guy named TC. Funny dude. Cool dude. And she said, I'm going to give you 5 minutes. I want to watch you. And I'm like, all right, bro. The crowd was so hot. I told 3 jokes and I got off stage. And she said, bro, I don't think that was 5 minutes. I said it was 4 minutes. If I would have did another joke, I would have went over, and I didn't want to disrespect your time.
Right.
She said, we're going to work together. And I've been working with her ever since.
Because they were probably laughing so long and so into it, it's all an extra time of them, of you not saying anything. You're not going to tell the crowd to shut up.
Oh my God. That probably one of the hottest shows I ever been on. Like everything I said was up. I was like, oh my God.
You gave me goosebumps, please. You gave me goosebumps right there, buddy. I love it.
If any young comics see this, never disrespect the stage. Never disrespect the light. It's not your show. It's her show. And I got so much work from that moment that I couldn't begin to thank her enough.
Sure.
Literally all over the country.
And did you go back in the groom and tell Adam, Ken and Preacher to kiss your ass? That's awesome. But that's a great story because I never knew. And that's awesome. Yeah. And now to see you on the road with her. And I'm glad the first thing you said was, she's really cool and super sweet, because
yes. It
makes me upset or just sad sometimes when someone I like, bands, comics, actors that you meet, or someone met them and they go, ah, what a jackass. You go like, oh no.
Yeah, but there's so many.
Yeah.
There's so many like that. So when I meet somebody that's super nice, I tell everybody. And
That's a great. I'll give just a quick one. In 99, when I was in radio, I had a came. I was in doing a small station in Daytona in between coming back to Tampa. And we did this huge show in St. Pete. It used to be before the Tropicana Field, it was called the Suncoast Dome. And it was a bunch of great bands and Metallica headlined. And I didn't know until we got there, me and my program director, we were going to interview Metallica backstage. No one told me. We didn't have any recorders either. So a buddy of mine from 98 Rock here in Tampa gave me the recorder. I go back. I'm interviewing Jason Newsted, the bass player, James Hetfield, the lead singer of the greatest rock band in the world, is walking by me in his boxer shorts, making goofy faces to try to make me laugh while I'm interviewing. And I'm thinking, these guys are the coolest guys. Maybe I got lucky that night, but no ego, no nothing. They couldn't have been nicer. So it's just great to hear that Angela is so cool. I freaking love that, man.
I just thought of something.
Yes, sir.
Ken Miller may not have been there that night, but it was definitely Adam Murray and Preacher Lawson. It may not have been Kim. I don't want to lie on Ken.
Right. And that was probably a real young Preacher Lawson, right?
Preacher Lawson.
Yeah.
Before he blew up.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, it's just great to see this, man. I love Preacher blowing up and you doing your thing.
Yeah, Adam Murray and movies and all that. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And at the end of this interview here shortly, we'll give people a way to follow you and where they can see shows with you and Angela or your shows and all that stuff like that. Real quick, I know you've known some people now in show business or doing live comedy, and there's heckling, there's craziness going on. Let me post a picture real quick here of something that happened just recently. They called her the White Karen over here, and this was at the Comedy Zone in Jacksonville. I forget the gentleman's name who was on stage.
That's Evrion Crockett.
Oh, that's it. Yes. So
I got a story to tell you.
Okay. So apparently she gets on stage recently, literally walks on the stage while he is performing and says, quote, "I'm a woman, I'm married to a man, and you've offended a lot of people here today with your jokes." I guess he was joking about sex or marriage. How this picture disgusts me in many ways, and she was on stage far too long. Anyone should never even think about doing something like that. And the fact that she was even on there for more than 10 seconds without getting thrown off really blows me away. But how do you, noticed this, experienced this, or how do you feel about this type of behavior?
First of all, she was within 6 feet without her mask on, and that was very unsafe for Evrion Crockett.
That's true.
He could have, you know what I'm saying? He could have got the COVID.
Yeah.
But you know what, man? Somebody told me when I first started comedy that comedians are on the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to entertainment. It's because people, we make it look easy. So everybody thinks they can do it. So when you're up there performing, they're not really respecting you as an artist. They get caught up in the moment, like you a person up there talking and they feel like they can talk.
Right.
So she's dead wrong. I know a couple years ago, a comedian in Florida, somebody physically fought him at a show. Physically.
Yeah.
And so it's been going on for years, man. I think it's worse now because people, they feel validated to be so opinionated and the society is setting the precedence that's the thing to do. So it's horrible, but I will say that Jacksonville comedy, the Comedy Zone, it must be a curse there. I was there that night. I don't know if you heard about the Tammy Pescatelli incident. Well, I was opening for her.
Okay.
And a lady was texting in the front row. And so she said, "Hey, get off your phone or, you know, go to the back of the room. It's distracting." And she was like, "I'm just texting." She said, "I know what you're doing, but you're texting in the middle of my show."
Right.
Quit acting like a dumb blonde, right? And the lady said, "I'm not really a blonde." And she said, "Like we didn't know that." The lady got so mad, she took a glass and she shot it on stage. It shattered. They called the police. Wow. Bro, it was crazy. And people just feel like comedy is like, well, entertainment in general, people in general, I'm just gonna say comedians because they do it at baseball games and all that, but they just feel that they feel like they have the right to do that, and that's absolutely wrong.
Well, and I was thinking of that analogy. Like, yeah, you pay a lot of money, like a lot of money, and you can boo at a basketball game, football game, but you could boo. You're not allowed to throw. You shouldn't be throwing stuff on the field. You shouldn't be throwing beer or stuff right at players. You can boo. You can yell. It's a concert. You can go, you suck during the show because the music is so loud, nobody hears what you're saying.
Right.
Comedy is the only thing where it's so simple. It's just a light. It's a microphone. But the audience has to be quiet. That's all we ask. And like, you're right. There could be 200 people in the audience. You will see that person in the back row on their texting. Yep. You focus on that one person. 199 people could be looking at you having a great time, but you focus on that one person. But you're right. The unmitigated gall of people to just, it's like social media. I guess they figure, well, I can't type a glass onto the stage, so I'm going to throw it at you because this is who I am, and who are you to talk to me that way? Yep. There is no more civility in a lot of these cases now, just actual common sense and civility. And I don't know if that's just around the world now, but I'm hearing more of this stuff at comedy clubs. I'm seeing it just in the streets. It's just weird, man. So, and I kind of figured that was going to be your take on that too. So bottom line is, Tony Gaud said it good. He goes, you know, this is like our home and everything. The stage is our home, and I didn't invite you on here. So, you know, just stay there and be quiet, please. Otherwise leave, or just, but stop interrupting the show, you know.
If you're not having a good time, just leave. They just want one of the biggest, I'll say, altercations I had. I was at a show, and show was going great. Uh-huh. People were enjoying. Everybody before me did well. I was closing out the show. Well, I'm on stage telling jokes, and this guy is in the middle, just holding up a phone. Recording. I'm like, hey man, can you please don't record? I'm helping you out. I'm streaming. If I'm like, well, I don't want to be streamed.
Right.
But you're a comic, and you, I'm like, brother, no, I don't want you recording me. And so that turned into another audience member, like, man, you're being rude. Stop. And then they got into a physical altercation and stopped the show and all that. But it's just people feel like they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
They just do.
You're right. And I just hope people, like you said, with technology nowadays, if you're going to a comedy show, look that person up on social media or on YouTube. Yep. More than likely they're on there. See if you like their comedy. If you don't like their comedy, don't go. If you are so offended, and that word offends me nowadays because it's a very strong word to use. Yep. But if you're so offended, just leave quietly. Guess what? The manager will probably give you free tickets to another show. Now, yes. I'm not saying go do that just to get your damn free tickets. But if you're that mad, but please don't act. And you know, God, we're adults, man. Just be nice. Just be nice. Unless the comic is asking you a question or says, hey, come on stage because we're going to do something together. Please don't talk and just be nice and sit there. You don't have to laugh. Have you seen my shows, Ron? Hardly anyone laughs. But at least they're nice. All right.
And I got friends that really go in on hecklers. Like, into the fact, then they get mad because you embarrassed me. So we lose either way it go.
Either way. So either bottom line, just be nice. Just be nice.
Yep.
let me share this with you because you're going to be coming up in a couple of days here at Side Splitters in Tampa. You're doing this thing. Can you explain what this is on November 20th at 6 o'clock at Side Splitters Comedy for a Cause?
Comedy for a Cause is it's an early show, 6 p.m. So you can do something else afterwards. Yep. It's a fundraiser for the Homeless Empowerment Program. So this fundraiser, this nonprofit organization, they're giving back to help homeless people better their situation. So they're not there anymore. Me and Shelly Shells, I'm happy. I also think JJ Curry is going to be on the show too.
Oh, good.
I'm happy to be a part of it. As you know, this year, one of the biggest things that touched me, I've been on dozens of these types of shows where I give back, but the comedy community gave back to me, and it meant so much. So I'm always happy to help. It's such a beautiful thing. Comedy for a Cause. If you can come out, hang out with me, shake hands or fist bumps, whatever we do nowadays. But it's for a good cause.
That's cool. And even if you're not around the Tampa Bay area or even out of state or around the world, you can always just look it up, Comedy for a Cause, online and probably donate something as well. So that's absolutely. That's so cool. And that's why I said at the top of the show, man, the interview, when I said you're legendary, because it's stuff like this, man. It's not just going out and hanging out with big stars like Angela Johnson and Tammy Pescatelli and doing your comedy all over the country. It's about giving back and doing stuff like that. In closing, Ron Hortman, let people know your fans, new fans, people who are watching and listening to this on Spotify and YouTube and Google Podcasts and all the platforms. Where can people get a hold of and see Ron Hortman, either solo or with Angela?
Okay, well, I just found out there's a Ron Hortman Pandora station, so I'm kind of excited about that.
Nice!
I didn't know, yeah. Ron Hortman on Pandora. My name is spelled different, R-A-H-N. Ron Hortman on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, R-A-H-N-H-O-R-T-M-A-N. Or you can do hashtag Granddaddy Fresh and you'll find me. I'm not that great at social media, but this year I said I'm going to go all in. I'm going to post y'all might see me with my shirt off. That's how deep I'm going to get into social media. I'm going to show you. Yeah. You like that, don't you, Pat? See,
well, I'm going to take my COVID mask and put it over my eyes on that.
But find me on social media, be my friend. I just like to have a good time and make people smile. That's it, man. That's it. Keep really smiling. Cool. Life is rough. Curveballs, and if you smile through it, you'll be all right.
You're right, man. I like that. And if you need any meat or extra toilet paper, just contact Ron's neighbor. That's gonna be great. Well, Ron Hortman, listen, man, seriously, always a pleasure. I love you, man, no doubt about that. I'm so glad that you're doing so well and you're one of ours here in the Tampa Bay area representing Florida. I love that so much, and I want people to contact you, and you're always welcome to come on the Comedians Uncorked podcast. We'd love to have you in studio one day, and we're all going to do some green room sessions too down the road, probably in early 2022, where me and Tony get out and hang out with the comics in the green room in between shows or after shows. So we'll definitely catch you and maybe Angela. Hey, put in a word. We're going to be on Spotify. Maybe we can grab you and Angela next time on the show. That'd be fantastic.
I'll see what I can do. I can't promise it, but I'll see what I can do.
You guys are busy.
Definitely.
We'll love to hang out. Ron Hortman, God bless you and your family. I love it. And folks, thank you so much for listening and also watching our Comedians Uncorked podcast. We're going to get back to the show now. Laugh, you deserve it, and have a great Thanksgiving. Tampa Bay's Ron Hortman. You can catch again his Dry Bar special. Get him on social media. And again, if you're in the Tampa Bay area or you're coming in, he's going to be doing Comedy for a Cause. In a couple of days, November 20th, at Side Splitters, their original one, on Northdale Mabry in Tampa, Florida, man. Yeah. I think it's time for a little thing where we call, Where They At?
Where They At?
That's the question right now. And yes, we will get a good intro for that one of these days. We're just starting. Where They At? Something I started like last year during the pandemic. I just want to ask and have people know where some of the great comedians are around the Tampa Bay area, but also now at some parts around the country as we go around the land. So let me start out by my gig. This is going to be tomorrow night. This is Friday the 19th at The Whiskey. They present the comic strip. The comic strip, is that a play on words, Pat? Yes, because it's a strip club. The Whiskey, and I know what you're saying, come on now, but just you have to go on the Facebook and the Instagram page. When you see the pictures and the videos, it's not what you think, but it kind of is. We do live comedy at The Whiskey in Seminole, Florida. This is going to be tomorrow night, 9:30 show. Bring your friends, $10 gets you in. We have Rafiq Shaheen, Trevor Glassman, the very funny Kojo Prince, is going to do a guest set. He called me a few days ago. He goes, you got 10 minutes for me? I go, it's a gentleman's club. He goes, dude, I've done comedy at clothing optional resorts. Yeah. I said, well, hold your pants,
too,
buddy.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Hold your pants. Have,
yeah. Keep your pants on, Prince. So that's going to be tomorrow night. This is a huge one. Let me jump out of Florida for a second. Chris Rock is at the Comedy Zone in Charlotte, North Carolina. Let me say that again. Chris Rock. I don't know how they did it. I don't know how those guys up there, Joel Pace and the guys, I guess, yeah. Right? I don't know how they did it, but they got Chris Rock
And he was in town, or is in town. I just had to bring that up. I thought that was just a coup for them.
Yeah, anytime you can catch him live, that'd be awesome. And by the way, his brother is hilarious. Tony Rock.
I've never seen Tony.
I've worked with him. He's very cool. He's an awesome dude. He is hilarious. Let me tell you right now, man.
Now, comparable to, like, did he just get a fair shake?
They've got different, careers.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Chris Rock came up with different people. So he got, he got in with Eddie Murphy early on.
Sure.
Tony Rock, though, he is hilarious. I mean, he's doing great.
Good.
But yeah, he is hilarious. I mean, he gets it. Obviously, people know Chris Rock more. Mm-hmm. He's got a bigger name at this point. But yeah, man, they both come from a really funny family. Because it's like, Tony Rock is hilarious. Most people named Brock. It's probably going to be funny if you go see him. So.
That's good, because I was thinking about, every time I say Chris, I think about Tony. I've never seen him live. That's just so cool.
Awesome dude.
That's what we like to hear, man. Maybe we'll get him on. We'll get one of the Rock brothers. Back to Tampa side splitters. Tampa has Stavos Halkias. I know you probably know him. Another great podcaster. He's going to be at Side Splitters. Also at Side Splitters and their new event, venue in Wesley Chapel, Florida, called The Groves, from America's Got Talent. Oh, he may be living in L.A. now, but he's from Florida. Cam Bertrand. He was on a few episodes of America's Got Talent this year. So just a great young kid. He's like his mid-20s, maybe 25 or 6 at the most.
He's got a lot of potential for a really nice career. So.
Good-looking kid. Humble kid, too. I like him. And it's just great. Let me go to Dallas for a second. Let me pick up some places in Texas. Hyenas in Dallas, Texas. By the way, they played a good football game last week, Cowboys. He's going to be in tomorrow night. It's called the Fresh AF Comedy Tour. I assume that means Fresh as Fuck Comedy Tour, with Franco Harris and Blake Woodrow. And then Saturday, they have Jason Banks, Houston Improv, Josh Wolf.
Nice.
Have you ever worked with Josh?
No, I have not. I have not worked with him yet.
A buddy of mine, Randy Myers, who our sound guy from iHeartMedia and stuff, and I love Randy, we're old radio friends, he's buds with Wolf. So maybe we can get him on the show.
Cool,
that'd be great, because Wolf is just, he's another cool guy.
He
was on Chelsea Lately?
Yeah, Chelsea Lately was the show,
Yeah, so Wolf, if you ever get a chance, he's just a storyteller, funny as hell, man.
Cool.
Stand Up Live, let's go to Phoenix, Arizona. Michael Rapaport.
Oh, boy. That should be good.
Dude's been in over 60 films, and he's got so many TV credits. I forgot that he does comedy. Like, I always recall him being on TV in the movies. I've never seen him do stand-up.
Well, I mean, he hasn't been doing it, relatively speaking, he hasn't been doing stand-up that long.
Right.
But he's got that natural... he's got like that East Coast flavor where, it's like you can talk, you can tell stories. He's very outgoing, he's very opinionated. So, he's very entertaining. So I haven't got to see him live yet, but I mean, I'm sure that'll come around. But he's out there doing it, man. He just, like, all of a sudden he was on the road. Yeah. I was like, wow.
Making money. And a shout out to a quick local Tampa comedian who works a lot with him when he's in town and sometimes gets her on the road with him, Catherine Maloney. So shout out to Catherine Maloney, who opens up a lot for Michael Rapaport. That sounds pretty cool. Stand Up Live, we got him. He's going to be there the next couple of nights in Phoenix. And then we went up to, also in that area, in the Phoenix area, Rob Branson's House of Comedy. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, I've been there.
Have you really?
Yeah, I actually opened. I was there for the grand opening with Harlan Williams.
Oh, shit, that was so good. I remember him at the Improv, at our Tampa Improv, Harlan Williams.
That was really fun. It's a pretty cool spot, man.
That's so cool, man. Yeah. How many years, do we recall what year, roughly?
I'll
put you on the spot, but early 2000s?
No, I mean, they haven't been open that many years. Okay. So, I mean, it's, man, I'd have to go back and look. Maybe like 4 or 5 years, maybe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What's Harlan been doing?
Well, he's doing some shows, but he does a lot of voiceover work. He's got his own cartoon on Disney. It's Puppy Dog Pals. That's his cartoon. I think it's like in its third or fourth season now. So he does. Yeah, he that's his. That was his creation. He does the. Yeah, he writes. You know, he has a, like he's the head writer, he's the creator, he does the voiceover on there, he's one of the characters. So yeah, he's been doing a lot of stuff like that. So
Not that he was like uber dirty, but if you ever check out Harlan Williams, and he's a favorite. In fact, I think he was in one of the radio stations that we did an interview, maybe at 98 Rock here in the Tampa Bay area. Yeah. But you know, he's
unfiltered, man.
He could be adult, but he's really funny. So when you said he's doing something on Disney, that blew my mind. So good for him.
Well, he's a big fan of animation,
okay,
things like that. So he does he's multi-talented. He does caricatures. He does art. He writes. He's got books.
So
he just really. As a matter of fact, I'm going to see if I can get a hold of him and get him on to talk about his latest book he just released.
Oh, we get him on. Stuff. That would be sweet. And let us know if you want to see Harlan Williams. Now, let me answer for you. You do. You want to see him on the podcast.
Every time you can see Harlan is great.
No, that's awesome, man. And I'll give out another shout out to another guy that made me think of something. So Rob Branson's House of Comedy, not the Apartment of Comedy. This is big. This is the House of Comedy in Phoenix. They have Ben Glebe all weekend. He's Emmy nominated for, it's called Idiotest on Netflix. And he was also, I believe, a writer and stuff on, and also on Chelsea Lately. So Ben Glebe. He's big time over there too. So he's going to be out there at Rob Branson's House of Comedy. I saw my man Larry the Cable Guy just mentioned. He is getting together soon with one of the other stars to do another Cars. Voice work for the next Cars movie or something. I guess he's going to play Mater again, tow truck.
Okay, cool.
So you'll get me talking like this right there, buddy. So look, you can check out Larry's website or something if you're a big Larry the Cable Guy fan. I know the kids love Mater the tow truck. So I just saw that, so I just want to let you guys know about that. So that right there is the end of Where They At. And like we said, if you're gigging, you're winning, laugh, you deserve it. We'll do more. In fact, I'll do more of those down the road in different parts of the country and Florida, and I'll put them on our YouTube channel. You can, again, subscribe to that.
Definitely,
and then next week we'll have a whole brand new Where They At. So that's what we do right there. So I just want to give another shout out real quick, if I could, Tony, to our sponsor, Julie Drolshagen. Thank you so much. Century 21 right here in Clearwater, Florida. I know of someone who's moving down shortly and they want a real estate person, so that's all you got to do.
Give her a call.
Give her a call, 727-902-9233. Florida Beach Business, Julie Drolshagen.
FloridaBeachBusiness.com.
Yes.
Make sure you check her out.
And don't forget, you can get us on Facebook, Comedians Uncorked podcast, on Instagram, just at Comedians Uncorked. And of course, everything goes to the main website, which is ComediansUncorked.com. So we got that going on right there.
Make sure you answer that question. Give us your dream lineup for comics, and we're going to be answering the question next week as well. And leave us a voicemail, leave us a comment, make sure you share, and if you like it, give us a like. You have anything else left to say, man?
That's it, man. Great working with you. That's Tony God right there. My name is Pat Largo. Thank you for listening and watching to episode 5, Comedians Uncorked podcast. Laugh, you deserve it.